Greetings and welcome to another worship podcast produced midweek by First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. I'm Pastor Jack Harrison, and I'm glad to be able to join with you for this time of giving glory to God and celebrating the gift of God's love for all of us. As we begin our worship, I invite you to take a moment to prepare yourself to open your heart to God's love and God's grace. And as we enter into this time of worship, make it a time especially of appreciating the gift of God's love that binds us all together. Let us worship God.
Jesus speaks to us saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit."
Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be swift with messages for thee, filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose.
Prayer of Adoration. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Prayer of Confession. Forgive us, God, of mercy for our foolishness. We trust in things that are not dependable, and then wonder why our lives feel out of balance. We focus on things that are meaninglessness and struggle with the uncertainty fears we create for ourselves. We allow resentment, bitterness, and judgment to take root in our hearts, and then struggle with the alienation that grows from our own petty conflicts. Set us free with our shallow faith and tepid commitment so that we may know the fullness of peace and grace that you hold out for us. Humbly we offer a prayer to you, Holy God. Amen. A scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from the evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be full of plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves as a father the son who he delights.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. This passage is one of the early parts of Jesus's conflict passages with the people who were struggling whether or not to believe Jesus. These conflict passages originate in the temple in Jerusalem, and they reflect both the external conflict of the people who were hearing Jesus and discussing with him and trying to decide whether or not following him was something that would be meaningful to them. But it also, in John's gospel, reflects an inner conflict, a conflict that every believer has in terms of coming to understand what it means to be one of God's people and how we live our faith in Christ. So from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare to you what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." May the Lord bless us and lead us and inspire us as we receive it. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God of freedom, show us the gift of being released from our bondage by the power of your truth and your love. We fear what you might show us, that this will be to judge and condemn us, but your love is always a gift of freedom and healing for our souls. Enable us to submit our hearts to your tender care, so that we may have real peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our season of exile with the coronavirus continues, and it's taking us individually and as a nation into a place where it seems some division keeps happening. There's a hardening of perspectives and a separating of people, even a sense of animosity that is often developing. You go to the grocery store and there are some who are wearing masks and very thoughtful of practices to reduce the spread. And then there are others who seem to be even offended that they should be asked to make any changes, that somehow this is offensive, that some are making attempts to reduce the spread of an infection while they are being asked to make changes in their own life. And what makes this more difficult is there aren't really places of common ground between these two different perspectives, these two different ways of thinking. It's hard to have a conversation. The one is somewhat guided by concern and possibly even a bit of fear, but mostly by an attempt to try and maintain some restraint and restriction, reducing the amount of the spread of the virus. The other one is an emotional reaction, a hostile lashing out that someone should change their world, that someone has put a situation in front of them that makes them uncomfortable, and they react to this discomfort with hostility. Granted, there are places where we are struggling with economics. We are challenged by the separation that's between us. There's a lot that creates stress and a lot that creates emotional upheaval. But the choice of whether or not to respond as somebody who is thoughtfully seeking to do that which is best for the most people, or in another way, just lashing out, releasing their hostility and coming from a place of fear and anger, those two things just don't really work together. It's interesting that in that fashion, though, emotions become a type of slavery. The reactivity becomes a bondage, a way in which we're controlled by things that are within us. The authority is being given to our inner child, the one who wants to have a tantrum over the changes that are put around us. And all of us are prone to that from time to time. All of us are struggling with, at times, feeling like we've just dealt with more challenges, more changes, more learning than we really ever wanted to do. Maturity responds with thoughtfulness, with seeking understanding, with having a wider perspective. That inner slavery to our emotional enmeshment that responds by reacting with hostility towards any authority, screaming, "You can't make me and I won't do it." And in that fashion, these two points of view are in a clash against each other. In the gospel passage, that was a bit of the type of conflict that was happening in front of Jesus among the people who were gathered. John refers to them as the Jews, but that's partly because during the time in which John is writing, Christianity is going through a separating process. The religion had been Jewish in nature, both Christian Jews and the people who did not affirm Jesus. And in the area where John's community has formed, these two perspectives are gravitating away from each other. Ironically, at that same time, there are others who are collecting wisdom literature that will eventually become the Talmud. And much of the same thinking, the same teaching is taking place. But the question that's happening in the community is, who will govern and who will be the one who will give guidance to one's nature? And will a person be harnessed to their animosity and fear, to their anger and their bitterness? Or will they be free to be able to live in the joy and fellowship that Jesus is offering? So when John refers to the Jews, he's not meaning to be anti-Semitic or even to typify Judaism as it is today. But he's talking about a group of people who are hardening in their perspective around teaching and around practice and rejecting those who are practicing this gift of freedom in the gospel of love. And so this gift is a message of freedom. Jesus is talking about the gift of the truth setting us free. The truth sets us free in the process of understanding who we are in Christ in our relationship with the Father. The truth sets us free as it moves us from seeing ourselves as independent without connection, as being self-absorbed or managing our lives by ourselves, but the truth sets us free because we realize we're in a constant relationship with God that defines who we are and sets us in a place of salvation and freedom. The opposite of truth and freedom is arrogance, self-absorption, being, as I said, enmeshed in our attitude and in our emotions. And that slavery is a bondage that reduces people, confines them, destroys their lives. The story of the gospel and the story of the Old Testament are all about freedom from slavery. You may remember that we talked about the Exodus, and that the Exodus narrative is the parallel to the Easter narrative. The Passover marks Easter, the time in which freedom from bondage in Egypt took place, and Pentecost, 50 days later, is the time of receiving the gift of covenant community as the law is passed down on Mount Sinai and moves the people into this process of becoming God's people. We're in our own strange Exodus journey, and we've been freed from a type of living that we didn't really realize was slavery. There's division and hostility, there's brokenness in relationships, there's so much that was taking place at that point. And you look at the way in which the plagues liberated God's people from Pharaoh. And now we have murder hornets ourselves. So we're in a strangely biblical time. The manner in which God used those negative events to bring about freedom didn't really look like God acting to the Hebrew people or to the Egyptian people when it was taking place. But it was as the people walked with God that they began to see that they were no longer defined by their confinement in Egypt, by their labor without justice, by the things that made them slaves, but they were now becoming people who were free. They were becoming a new people. We're in kind of the same situation. The plague upon us, the economic issues, it is just a series of things that have come over us. And it seems overwhelming. It seems so fear-producing. Right at the perspective we're at right now, we can't necessarily see what's happening, but what is taking place is God's truth is producing freedom. It will be fulfilled as we come into a relationship that's greater with God. But we have to be willing to be open to God's instruction and God's direction. When the people arrived at Mount Sinai, the first thing that God gave to them was a set of rules. And it seems like rules are just more restriction, more negativity, but quite the opposite. The rules that God gave was to define them as a people and to set them free. The first rule was that they would have no other gods but the Lord God, no idols, no graven images, that they wouldn't become bounded or subject to anything but the reign of God, that they would put their lives entirely in submission to God and only God. They would not be slaves to greed. They would not be slaves to power. They would not be slaves to the opinions of others. They would only be children of God. The second rule that is very powerful is the Sabbath. And we think of all of those Sabbath rules of things that people couldn't do on the Sabbath, so that we forget what the Sabbath really was about and what it really was intended to form. Slaves don't get a day off. People who are in bondage all of the time. Sabbath means that we are not subject to working all of the time. We're to have time off. And that time off is to be time to enjoy the gift of God's grace and God's love. Now, time off, a day off, doesn't necessarily sound like a big deal, but it really does define the difference between somebody who's a slave to their own labor, to their work, to their occupation, or somebody who has been set free and is able to make their own decisions, their own direction. Those who are in bondage do not enjoy the gift of peace, of love, of security. All they do is they live as one who is subject to the thing that owns them. We need to be free, and that freedom is part of the gift that God is giving us through this time. In Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the challenge that we have is coming up with a vision of who it is we want to be when we grow up, how it is that God is shaping us, our new identity in a post-coronavirus realm. Before all of this took place, we were real accustomed to alienation and division, to injustice and meaningless conflict. We were very much comfortable with wasted time, empty experiences. And now all of this is being given a chance of transformation. Our time of exile, our time of wandering, gives us the opportunity to have something deeper, something more meaningful, to no longer be slaves, and especially slaves to things that are empty. We have this tendency so frequently to emotionally get caught up in our slavery without even realizing that it's happening. I have a friend who has gone through an extremely bitter divorce about 10 years ago, and he and his ex-wife continue to have these ongoing battles. Their children grew up in separate homes with this constant rancor taking place between their parents, so that they want nothing of it now. The battle began to shape every element of their lives. And both of these people are truly slaves to their bitterness. The thing which is particularly sad and particularly hard to see is that in the end, the fights were over so very little. But that's one of the things that can become such a powerful problem, is that we can so easily be caught up in hostility and fighting so that we lose perspective of what it is that we really want, who it is we really want to be. In some ways, our entire nation has been in that same type of battle. It hasn't been about one side or the other side being able to take leadership. It's about fighting over who's going to get their way and making sure the other one suffers pain for the losses that have been suffered before. We see this happening in religion, where splits and divisions, extremism, and hostility has become such a defining part of our world. We don't need to be slaves to all of this bitterness. We don't need to be controlled by all of that hostility. The truth is that God is the God of love, and God is calling us to a relationship of understanding and peace, to no longer seeing ourselves identified by the fights that we're in, by the conflicts that we maintain and the divisions that we have developed, but that our identity is that we are a beloved child of God. We're special, just as special as every other beloved child of God, and that we don't have to fight to prove ourselves. Our freedom is to be able to enjoy being who we are and letting others be themselves as well. All of us have capacity either to be enslaved to an idol of hostility and fear, a false god of self-importance or domination over another group of people, a false deity of setting up divisions as defining parts of us. All of those things are false. And in the process of following after them, we enslave ourselves to things that have no value. So how do we come to freedom? What's the process of embracing the truth of what Jesus is telling us? It requires a bold and willing openness to seeing ourselves honestly and being willing to renounce the idols and the things that have come to place themselves as such importance in our lives that really are not actually that important. The first step of freedom is to acknowledge our self-deceptions, to recognize the way in which we have allowed ourselves to be defined by these things. It begins by stripping away the things that we have piled upon, past feuds and past grievances, relationships that we have begun to form calluses towards, so that we would be able to continue to have the hostility. It doesn't really matter who we are as long as we are God's beloved child. And each of us has the opportunity and the space to be able to develop their own unique gifts in their own place. And this is what we are looking to be able to accomplish as we spend time letting go of the anger and the divisions, and asking God to prayerfully and lovingly show us who we really are at the heart of ourselves. The message from Proverbs is about perspective and illusions. For those who live in the illusion that they are in control of their lives, that they're masters of their own universe, we have to say, well, welcome to the year 2020, and welcome to a place where nothing is going as we had anticipated, and we are not living in a time of our own control. We have been living in a year that it feels like whoever has put together the script really jumped the shark sometime in and around the time the murder hornets showed up. And so we're in a space in which it's time for us to be able to acknowledge that everything is changed. Let's let God be the one who is in control, because we're certainly not. The truth is, our prosperity, our wealth, our capability to be able to be in control, that isn't our source of security. Our gifts of intelligence, our education, all of the things that we so often use to define ourselves don't really give us meaning. Even the relationships with people who are precious to us and whom we're close to, those don't necessarily have to define who we are. That we are defined by one thing. We're defined by God's love. We are defined by the affirmation that God has spoken over every one of us, that we are beloved and precious in God's sight. We are defined by the gifts and the capability that God has put in each and every person. And so rather than seeking definition and seeking identity from those things that don't matter, we're being given as a perspective and an understanding that we are beloved and strong and secure by the steadfast love of God. We are free because we are God's beloved children. And so we need the truth to be setting us free. We need to take time to open ourselves to that stripping away process that God is offering us. Take time to sit with Jesus and to listen to him tell you about yourself. Some of the truth can be harsh, particularly in the places where we have illusions, where we have created false idols, where we believe that we are important because of things that aren't important, that we are significant because of things that we have attempted to pile upon ourselves or identify ourselves with, when our real significance is love and God's grace. Take time to confess to God your need for a strength that comes from within rather than a sense of strength that is from outside of you. God will show you the truth. The truth can be harsh at times, but that harshness is always in the process of freedom, of liberating, of setting us in a place where we can become ourselves. Spend time in prayer, and God's Holy Spirit will enable you to see. Ask God to release you from slavery to toxic ways of living, to the ways in which you've been dominated or the herds that you've run with. And instead, let God show you, without illusion, the gift of God's love and grace for you. Let's welcome this time as a gift that God has given us. The plagues have come to set us free. We have been pushed out of the place where we were comfortable and secure, albeit miserable and without complete understanding. And we are now being set free to a place where we can grow into a new relationship of love, wholeness, and community. The Holy Spirit has more work to do, but this is the time in which God will do it. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, you are our one source of truth and peace. We need your instruction so that we can be set free. Show us our bondage to slavery of our idols, our misconceptions, our foolish pride, arrogance, and the things which we use to try and define ourselves and pump ourselves up. Instead, show us the truth of your love, the truth of your creating each one of us unique and capable and made to be full of joy. Show us that you are God over all of our lives and the source of all things that are good for us. And enable us also to entrust to your care the people and the things which we value, the ways in which we are afraid, the need that we have for your tender mercy and care. We especially place in your hands our family, our close friends, the people about whom we worry. We particularly also place in your hands those who are vulnerable, those who are struggling, those who are in need of constant grace and support now. Let your love and peace support everyone who's in a time of trial, whether it be their own feelings of self-worth and depression, their fears about money, or the work that they are doing. Now draw us together in prayer that we might be unified by your love in the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again.
these perils thick and found you. Put a failing arms around you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep us banner floating o'er you. Spite us threatening way before you. God be with you till we meet again.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen. This has been a podcast from First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. Our facilities are located at 1225 4th Street. We look forward to when we can worship together and to see you there. If you would like to learn more about the church, you can reach us on our website, www.fdlpresbyterian, PRESBYTERIAN.org. And if you'd like to email me, you can email me at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. Stay safe and God bless you. We look forward to when we can meet again. May the blessings of God be with us all. Amen.